truth in this world. But the ultimate truth that you and I need most is what? The truth of how to get to heaven. That's what he's talking about. The truth of how to get to heaven. And so when he says that, he's saying, look, pay attention to me. You need the belt of truth because you're saved by the ultimate truth that's contained where? In this book. And if somebody has a different kind of truth, you don't mess with it. You test everything anybody says based on the Word of God. And of course, it's secondly, the truth of God's Word is a foundation for our lives. Here's a verse that you probably have memorized, but look at it anyway. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Remember those verses? We read them, I think, a few weeks ago. He says there, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. Now look at all these things it's good for. Is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, or the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now notice that word equipped. That's prepared. In other words, what's he saying? That the truth of God's Word is the foundation of our Christian life, just like that belt was the foundation of the armor of that Roman soldier. And of course, when you look at the Scripture, you recognize that he's saying here that this book, the Word of God, the truth of God is what? It is what gets us ready for life. It gets us ready for life. It's a foundation for your whole Christian life. All the other parts of the armor of God hang on this word of His. All of them. Now, as we go through them, we'll be telling you what they are, but listen to me. The breastplate of righteousness depends on the truth of our acceptance with God. The shoes of peace depend on the truth of our peace with God. The shield of faith is possible because we know God's Word. We know His truth. We trust it at His. The helmet of salvation, the truth settles our minds and concerning our security in Christ. The sword of the Spirit is the truth of God's Word. All the things that we'll be talking about hang on this belt of truth. And when you think about that truth as well, number three, the truth sets us free. Remember Jesus said that in John 8:32. The truth sets you free. Lies enslave you, truth liberates you. Lies enslave you, truth liberates you. And when we think about all the lies that are out there, all the deceptions in terms of the truth of the Word of God, the things that they twist just a little bit so they can get you to believe what they want, we need to be very careful that we don't become enslaved by wrong teaching, wrong doctrine. Where do we go when we need to find out what the truth is? We go to where? The Word of God. That is the ultimate truth. And of course, it frees us from several things. Number one, it frees us from false teaching. In Ephesians 4:14, we talked about that a while back, but look again with me in Ephesians 4:14. He's talking about a maturity early in there in Christ. And then he says in 14 that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. So what's he saying there? He's saying, pay attention. You test everything that's supposed to be the truth with what? With this truth. If someone says this and this and this is true scripturally, then you go and look at it and you check it out. You hold it next to the Word of God. I've told you this before, but do you know how they train people to recognize counterfeit money? They have them handling the real thing all the time. And then when it gets to the counterfeit, there's something different about this. There's something different about this. You ever get some brand new bills? $100, whatever. I don't ever get much of those. But, you ever had like a $20 bill and it's crisp and brand new? It doesn't feel right, does it? That's because it's not all beaten up and put in people's wallets and crumbled up and written on. But when we look at something that someone's saying on TV, radio, whatever, or from the pulpit, you ought to be comparing that with what the Word of God says. I want you to do that with me. And when you look at what they're saying is true, and you look at the Word of God, if you are truly learning the Word of God, you should be able to say, whoa, 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 no, that doesn't match up. Be careful. There are a lot of shysters out there. There are a lot of people out there who want to take you to town, spiritually speaking, and drain you of everything you really know from the Word. Be careful. I like what one commentator said about this. William Barclay said this. He said, others may guess and grope. The Christian moves freely and quickly because he knows the truth. What's he saying there? If you know the Word of God, if you base all of your spiritual knowledge on that Word, guess what? You're going to be able to tell the false stuff when it comes around. It won't be right. It won't feel right. It won't look right. The Word of God also frees us from flawed thinking. Remember back again in chapter 4. Remember I told you when we talked about these things they'd be coming back later? Look at chapter 4 again, verses 17 and 18. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding. They are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And he goes on to describe that, those who lived by the lie, like you and I used to. And he's saying, pay attention. The Word of God can free you from flawed thinking. Once in a while you hear something like this, oh, I need alcohol, I need drugs, I need this and that to cope with life. True or false? That's false. I'm glad he all said false. I can't help myself. I'm just built this way. I have to do all those things I used to do. True or false? You weren't as strong that time. True or false? Good, we're catching on. Oh, I can't do anything for God. I just... True or false? Huh? Okay, good. I've sinned too much. God would never want me. Oh, I never can be saved. Oh, I've done too much wrong. Huh? Okay, I thought I heard somebody say true, but I guess I... Okay, you're catching on. You know, Satan lies to keep people in slaves. That's the kind of lies he tells them. And when we look at the Word of God, it's clear. I don't need drugs and alcohols to be what I need to be. I need the Word of God. I can't help myself. God says I can obey Him. I can have a life that's lived according to what God's Word says. I can do something for God because God's Holy Spirit is in me and He uses me and He touches my heart and He touches hearts through me. I have never sinned too much to be forgiven by God because Jesus paid all of it on the cross in order that we could go to heaven. So it frees us from false teaching, from flawed thinking, and it frees us from failed emotions. You ever feel rejected? Huh? You ever feel rejected?
Yes.
God, remember what he said earlier in Ephesians? God what? God chose us before the foundation of the world to be his. The God, the true God chose you as his own. Why do you need to feel rejected? You ever feel like you're unloved? Oh, come on. Get with me on this. You ever feel like you're unloved?
Yes.
What does the scripture say? A verse you should have learned from watching it on TV at the games. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You are loved by God. Do you ever feel afraid?
Yes.
Some of you don't want to admit it. I can tell it's the women saying they're afraid. Any men ever afraid? Hey, I was afraid. Yeah, I'm afraid lots of times. Scripture says he is our shield. He is our fortress. He takes care of us. Ever feel guilty?
Yes.
Ever feel guilty?
Yes.
Okay, I thought I heard somebody said no. I didn't hear that. Okay, yeah. What does the Word of God say? He says he forgives our sins, right? He forgives us, past, present, and future. Ever feel depressed? Yeah. Read the Psalms sometimes. Great King David wrote the Psalms. You know why he wrote them? Most of them start out like, oh God, I have a terrible day and my enemies hate me and oh, where are you? And that's the way a lot of Psalms start out. Read them. And by the end, he's saying, oh God, you're taking care of me. You're my shield. You're the one who gives me my joy. You see the difference? You see, God's truth keeps us from those failed emotions. Write this down. Maybe you have it on your notes. I can't remember. We are to guide our lives by the truth of God's word rather than the circumstances and emotions of life. You hear it? Read it again. We are to guide our lives by the truth of God's word rather than the circumstances or emotions of our lives. I feel so unloved. Wait a minute. What does God's word say? Oh, I can never do anything. What does God's word say? Tell yourself the truth. This truth. Put on that belt of truth. Now, how do we put that belt on? Well, I don't know about you, but when I put mine on, I got to stretch a little bit. But that's not the way you put on the belt of truth. How do we put it on? Two things. Number one, know God's word. Psalm 119:9-11. David says, how in the world will a young man change his ways? Now, that's the Sherman rendition. And he answers himself in verse 11, by keeping the word of God in your heart, by meditating on it, by knowing it. Know God's word. Okay? Well, I know a lot of people that know God's word that aren't even believers. They can quote whole chapters for you. So is that the way we put on the belt of truth? Oh, there's one more thing. Do God's word. Do God's word. Apply it to your life. You know, I've used this illustration lots of times. You go to the doctor, you're coughing your head off, and you're hacking up, your intestines, so to speak, and you go to him and say, oh, doc, I'm so sick, I need something. And he says, okay, here's a prescription. Go fill it. Take this religiously, and you'll feel better. And so you go, and you go to that pharmacist, and he says, that prescription will be $300. And you say, whoop, I'm not that sick. And so you don't take it. And then a few days later, you're just hacking up your lungs again, and you go to the doctor, and you say, oh, I'm so sick, I don't know what to do. And he says, did you take the medicine? No, it was too expensive. Well, how do you expect to get any better if you don't take it, if you don't apply it? And that's what the Word of God is. We've got to do the Word of God. Look at James chapter 1 a little bit later in the New Testament. James chapter 1, he's a no-nonsense kind of guy, and James is going to tell us how the cow ate the cabbage. Anytime you read the book of James, he's pretty straight. James chapter 1, look at verses 22 to 25. He says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Now that word he's talking about is the word of God. You know, I know people that go to church every time the door opens, and that's great. But you know what? Some of those don't do what the word says. They're just, oh, this is a nice sermon. I enjoy this lesson. Wow. And they don't do it. What does he say? Do not merely listen to what? Do what it says. You know, James had the motto, just do it, long before the people that build the shoes had it. Just do it. Look at verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but what's the next word? Doing it, will be blessed in what he does. See what he's saying? Do the word. Do the word. Do what it says. Obey it. Obey it. You ever look in the mirror? See that you need a shave? or wash your face. You got a smudge there. And you start doing everything else and getting ready for your day. You're in a rush. Oh, no, I'm already 10 minutes late for work. You get to work and one of your buddies says, "What's that black mark on your head?" You saw what it said. You saw what the mirror said, but then you didn't do anything about it. And that's the way we can do with the Word of God. It doesn't matter how much of it you put in your life. If you're not obeying it, it's worthless. Don't go to the doctor and not take the medicine. Don't go to the Word and not obey. We know God's Word and we... Let's start over. We know God's Word and we... Do God's Word, okay? We obey it. If God's Word says, thou shalt not, then don't do it. If God says, thou shalt do this, then thou shalt do it. And remember, the Scripture promises that as we obey, our lives become something that is bringing glory to God and it brings satisfaction to us. So know God's Word and do it. Just do it. Okay. I started to put a just do it thing from, who is this? Is that is Nike? But I thought it was probably copyrighted and they might find out and sue me. But okay. So the belt of truth. And the second thing is in the last part of verse 14, it is the breastplate of righteousness. Now the breastplate for the soldier was not just the front but the back as well. It was something that was generally made out of metal or chain mail, something of that kind. And it covered the important parts of your body. It covered your lungs and your heart, because that's the biggest part of you that can somebody can get to, you know. A young friend of mine, one time we were hunting armadillos together. I think I told you the story. So we're out at night, and we're taking turns. There were so many armadillos around our house that, you shake a bush and an armadillo comes out. And so I call him and I say, "Hey, you want to go armadillo hunting?" "Yeah, let's go." So I said, "Okay, we'll take turns. One of us will hold the light and the other one will shoot, and then we'll go back." So I said, "You go first." So there comes an armadillo. He shoots. He misses it. What happened? What were you shooting for? I was shooting for his head. Have you ever seen an armadillo's head? You'd have to be a pretty good marksman. I said, "Shoot for the big part. Shoot for that shell. You get that shell, you got something." And that's the way it is, isn't it? Because, you know, if you are a soldier, you aim for the parts that will cause them to die or be crippled where they can't get you. And so the Roman soldier wore this over his front and his back. The breastplate here is what's mentioned. Now, what does it mean to have a blessed breastplate of righteousness? What does that mean? It talks about not our personal righteousness, but what Christ gave us. Because we know that Romans 3:10 says there is none righteous. No, not one. You know that? Okay? Any righteousness we have is in Him. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Good old Paul speaks about that in Romans 3. Look at Romans 3, and we're looking at verses 21 through 24. Romans 3, 21 through 24. As Paul is speaking here, he's talking about what God has done for us. And in verse 21, he says this: "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." Now notice that term, righteousness from God. Verse 22, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, what's he saying here? That breastplate of righteousness is not our own good deeds. It is the righteousness given to us at the time we are saved. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All of our righteousness is filthy rags." In other words, the stuff we think is good is nothing more than just a nasty old dirty rag in God's sight. So we have to have His righteousness. Through faith, Our sins are forgiven, and no record of them exists. Remember Colossians chapter 2 when we went through that book? Remember what he said there? He said that Jesus Christ took our sins, he nailed them to the cross, and he covered them with his blood. And there's no record of them if you've trusted Christ as Savior. You understand what he's saying? That he gave righteousness to you because of his death on the cross. If you've trusted Christ, you have that righteousness. But it's not because of you, it's because of him and what he's imputed to you. So, secondly, the breastplate of righteousness guards our hearts and our minds from Satan's accusations. Guards our hearts and our minds from Satan's accusations. You remember in Revelation 12:10, as John writes there, he says, he calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. What does that mean? Well, that means that Satan not only tempts you to sin, but he also accuses us after we have sinned. He's good at that, isn't he? Have you ever done something wrong and the Holy Spirit is just convicting you? Man, I was so wrong. The Holy Spirit does that too. But he points you to the right way, to confession, if you've trusted Christ. Satan is always in your ear going, you'll never make a good Christian. You remember back there, way back there, what you did? You'll never be accepted by God. You remember all those things that you used to do? You're no better than that. You are worthless. God doesn't want you anymore. And what God's Holy Spirit says, listen to me, pay attention. He says what? My sin is forgiven if I've trusted Christ. Past, present, and future. He paid for all of my sin. All at one time on that cross. All of that sin. And I have forgiveness in him. And so when I hear that business of you're not forgiven, you're worthless, I go to God and say, wait a minute, God. I trusted you as my Savior. And I know you've forgiven my sins. It protects the vital parts of us. Protects the vital part of us. Through faith, our sins are forgiven and no record of them exists. We have to remember that. No one is as restless and ineffective as a person who is unsure of his status before God. That's where he tries to get us. If we're unsure of our acceptance by God, we're unable to be effective in the fight. Now, listen to me. When Satan attacks your mind and emotions by telling you that you're unworthy, you have to agree with him. I'm unworthy, and you're unworthy. That's true. He uses half-truth. But you have to quickly say, I'm standing in the righteousness that was credited to me through Jesus Christ. That's through my faith in him. When you're tempted to say, oh, I don't deserve it, you're right. And when you're tempted to say, God doesn't love me, you're wrong. Because he gave his son for you. And he paid for the price of your sins on the cross. Now, there's that imputed righteousness, but there's another side to righteousness in the scripture. We just spoke about our position in Christ. What about the practicality, the practical righteousness that we're to have every day? Look at Romans chapter 6 again. Or look at Romans again in chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Romans 6, 11. As Paul writes there, the first thing he says is that sin is a choice that we make as to who rules over us. Chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. And I need to find my way. Okay. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. You see, that's a choice. Sin is a choice. You're choosing who rules over you. You're choosing who you will obey. That's a choice, a clear choice. You can help it if you sin. You're not destined to sin constantly. God gave us the ability to obey. And then as you go on a little bit further, he talks about the fact that God's our boss, and he bought us, he paid for us, so we owe it to him. Look at what he says as he goes on. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. You see what he's saying? Practical righteousness is what? Sin is a choice. I choose who I obey. I have a choice. I don't have to say, oh, I've got to do this thing because that's me. I can say, no, I choose to obey God. That's practical righteousness. And I owe that to God because he bought me, he paid the price for me, and he is the boss, not me. When we stand strong in the truth of God's word, Satan's lies melt away. When we stand boldly in Christ's imputed righteousness, Satan's accusations melt away. But we need to put the armor on. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, or the beginning of our spiritual armor. Where are you at today? Have you applied the truth of God's word to your life? The truth is, God says you're a sinner, just like me, just like everybody else. The truth is that you cannot work your way to heaven. The Bible says that it's by grace through faith in Christ. The truth is that if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you will not go to heaven. But the truth is that if you trust Christ as Savior, you are forgiven. As he said in the beginning of Ephesians, you are forgiven. You are given a new name. You are given a new family. You are given a new future. And you're given the strength to obey. Where are you at this morning? Pray with me for a minute. As you bow your head, if you died today, would you go to be with God in heaven? Now, what most of us want to say is, yeah, I think so, because I did this and this and this. And the scripture says that's not the way it is. It says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. You might want to pray a prayer like this if you've never done it. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I can never pay for my own sin. But I know that Jesus died in my place on the cross, and he paid for my sins. And right now, I'm trusting you instead of me. I'm asking you to forgive my sins and make me yours. And after you do that, you might want to pray a prayer like this. Dear God, help me to live a life that says, thank you, every day. Lord, thank you for your word. May we stand on it strong. May we stand in the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ and resist all the lies of the devil. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me and sing, if you would, please. My Jesus, I love thee.
I love thee, I know thou art mine, for thee all the Father. sight. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.